Well, as Todd said, and as you saw in the video, we start a new series today called Reset. And we want to talk about how our lives can be reset in this new year. This is not an uncommon idea. Fact is, every year about this time, strange things start to happen, right? We begin to think about things that we would normally ignore, right? All of a sudden, we begin to ask ourselves questions about what we're doing and where we're going, questions that we probably should have been asking all along, but we didn't, right? And so we make commitments to change. We want this to be the best year ever. The gyms are full, they're smelly, and like for 3 weeks, anybody go to the gym? For like 3 weeks, you don't want to go, right? Because everybody's back there, right? Diets are in full swing. We rearranged all of our schedules so we can have more time at home. A lot of us have made promises to end some vices that have been controlling and hurting us, and we've decided that this year we're going to end those. And others have made commitments that this year we're going to begin some new habits that are going to make us stronger. Could be that that's why you're here today. Maybe you decided, you know, our family's going to get in church. We're going to get more faithful. And if you did, man, we are so glad you're here. The challenge is, I know some of us, we want to be better spiritually. We want this to be the best year yet. But a lot of us, can I just be honest, we simply just don't know how. Because we've had years like this before where we said, you know, this year I'm going to grow in my faith. This year is going to be the year that I'm really going to take off. I'm going to look back at the end of the year and think, this was my very best spiritual year. And we had that last year, the year before, the year before. And some of us are frustrated going, I don't know why I can't do this. Well, that's what this series is about. It's trying to help you know how. It's how to make this year the best year spiritually ever. Fact is, we want to talk through some very well-proven techniques that are going to strengthen you spiritually. I'm excited about our new year goals. You know, a lot of us have the thought of a new year, new us, right? But we get into this, and then all of a sudden it sinks in. Has this ever happened to you? And we realize, wait a minute, I want a new year, new me, but it's going to take a lot of work. I'm going to have to discipline myself to get up earlier. And you know how hard that is, right? I'm going to have to say no to things that I really like to eat. Because if you ever notice that everything you like really isn't good, right? The things that aren't good are things that are good. Well, they're terrible, right? But I'm going to have to figure that out. I'm going to have to save my money this year instead of just spending it. You know what the truth is that none of us like discipline. Can I just go ahead and say that? None of us really like it. It's been amazing to kind of watch. So this last year, Graham helped develop a new student ministry card. A bunch of our students are here, and it was great. And he did a really good job on it. And, you know, when we first kind of got started this semester filling it out, it was great. It asked questions like your name and your phone number and all that. And then it asked, have you or are you being discipled and would you like to be? And that was great. Those were great questions to help us. But what we forgot was that that was on the card. And we did a couple of events that were like outreach events. And the very first one we did, I remember we were out at the fun place out on Nicholasville Road. Anyway, and about two or three students come up to us, middle school students, and they looked at this and they didn't know what to do with it. And I'm standing there with Graham and they look at us and they go, I don't know what this discipline is, but I don't want it. Isn't that amazing? That's how we are, right? They didn't understand the term and they were like, I don't want discipline. I already have enough of that. None of us like that. None of us like making ourselves do things that don't come natural. That's what discipline is, right? Making us do things that aren't natural. None of us like that. But what we know in our minds is that makes us better. And I don't know if you know this or not, but the Bible talks a lot about the idea of discipline. One of the best passages is the passage I ask you to turn to in 1 Timothy chapter 4. I want to read a lot of this because I think it's going to set the pace for this series. Listen to what he says in verse 1 of chapter 4. He says, but the Spirit explicitly says that in the latter times, some people are going to fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons, and by means of the hypocrisy of the liars, seared their own consciences as with a branding iron. And then look at verse 6. He goes further. He says, in pointing out these things to the brethren, you'll be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished in the words of faith and the sound doctrine which you have been following. But have nothing to do with the worldly fables fit only for old women. On the other hand, look at what he says, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline is only of a little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds the promise for all things and the promise for life to come. It is a trustworthy statement deserving of full acceptance. For it is for this we labor and strive, because we have fixed our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of men, especially of believers. And then he goes further, prescribe and teach these things, and let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech and conduct, in faith, in love, in purity, show yourself to be an example to those who believe. And until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching, and then do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed on you through the prophetic utterance and with the laying on the hands of the presbytery. But take pains with these things, Paul says. Be absorbed in them so that your progress will be evident to all. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Preserve in these things. As you do these, you'll ensure salvation both for yourself and for your hearers. What a great passage. Helps us understand this idea of discipline and what matters. Verse 1 and 2, he says the Spirit explicitly says, or very clearly says, what's going to happen in the last days. I believe we're in them. In the latter days, he says, people will fall away from the faith. Have you seen this? And they're going to sear their own consciences. That's what he says. You know what that means? In other words, people are going to make up their own rules and live by them. That's kind of what he's saying here. They're going to kind of come up with their own ideas, and they're going to push those ideas and maybe teach those ideas from their churches. He talks about that in his second book. But in verse 7, Paul tells Timothy, don't give in to this. And he says this key statement, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. What a great phrase for us to think about this year. What a great phrase for us to think about in this series. Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. That's what discipline, spiritual discipline is. And then in verse 8, look what he says. He says bodily discipline. In other words, all the other New Year's resolutions you have, the diet, the savings, the, you know, reading the book, they're all really good. But look what he says, bodily discipline, they're only profitable for a little profit. He's just kind of showing us this picture. But he says when you discipline yourself for godliness, that's profitable for all things. And then he goes further and reminds us that it's profitable not only for this life that you're living, but for the life that is to come when you die. Discipline yourself, he says. And that's what discipline really is, for the purpose of godliness, he says. And then look at verse 15. He says, he goes further and really drives this home. He says, take pains with these things. In other words, be absorbed with them. Have you known anybody that's absorbed with certain things? They're absorbed by going to the gym. They're absorbed by what they eat, what they don't eat. And by the way, those are good things. I'm not making fun of those. But he's just saying, if those are worth you being absorbed in, be absorbed in this. Be absorbed in godliness. Let it filter every part of what you do. And then he says, when you do this, look, your progress will be evident. It'll be seen by all. Your wife, your husband, your mom, your dad, your neighbors, the people you go to school with. Everybody is going to see something different in you if you understand how big of a deal discipline, godly discipline, is in your life. Wow. What a strong passage. We could have just spent the entire series teaching that passage. Eugene Peterson, in a book called Working the Angles, said this. He says, it is the practice of disciplines that fit us for performing our very best in an event. That's what discipline is. It helps us become our best. And in this context, it's the idea of being our best in godliness and how we pursue God. That's our prayer for you. That's our prayer for us as a church this year, that we would become more godly, that we would take another step towards being truly devoted followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this week, I was meeting with Thomas Carter. I don't know if you know Thomas and Emily in our church, and We were hanging out, we were walking through John 15, and we were talking about what Jesus says about abiding in him and about the baskets, and we were talking about the overflowing basket, the basket that's overflowing with fruit. And I'm sitting there this week, and I set Thomas up. He had no idea, really, because he didn't know about the series, but I just asked him. I said, hey, Thomas, can I ask you a question? He said, sure. And I said, tell me something. What do the lives look like of people that are overflowing with fruit? You know what he said? His immediate answer, his first response, he says, they practice spiritual disciplines. That's right. Our lives overflow with fruit as we understand this idea that Paul is telling Timothy and us, that discipline for godliness really matters. And so this month, we're going to focus on four of the most important spiritual disciplines that are going to help you and I become our very, very best Because I'll tell you what our goal is. Our goal is that this year is different, that this year you don't just feel, you know, think about doing something and then, you know, give up. You know, it's kind of like the gym. You know, you go for the first 3 weeks and by week four, you're like, I'm too busy, and you just feel guilt. Many Christians do that with disciplines, with Bible reading and prayer. They start out the year going, I'm going to do this. And by week three, they just feel bad. Our prayer and our desire in this series is to fix that in your life and for you to actually see it through. And let me put vision to this. Do you know what our big picture prayer is? Is that at the end of the year, you know, December, I hate to use to talk about December because right now you're like, I'm glad it's gone. Because December's great, but it's stressful, right? But next December, when you're heading into Christmas and you're getting those last minute Christmas gifts, and you're sitting down to think about and talk about it, and you're sitting in your big easy chair, and you're evaluating your year, or you and your husband are out having dinner, talking about your year, here's our prayer. We want you to say, you know what? I'm not perfect, but that was the best spiritual year we ever had. That's what God wants to do in your life. That's what He wants to do in my life. That's what we're asking God to do. So let me just challenge you. I know our culture is such that regular to church now is like 2 out of 4 or 3 out of 4. And I know we have a lot of excuses and reasons to be gone, and I'm not talking about that today. But just, can I just ask you as your pastor and your friend, just this month, the month of January, do your best to be here every week. Because we're going to be talking about a different one of these four critical disciplines. And I can't put them all in 1 week, so every week's going to really matter as we figure out how to help you succeed in these areas. All that being said, let's get started, huh? And the very first one that we've chosen that will help you, and I'm leery because in one sense of the word, I want to tell you that this is maybe the best way, but really all four of them are so important. But this is so important. If you want to flourish in your spiritual year, I want to talk with you today about how to spend time in God's Word. Now, I know a lot of us know about this, and we've heard about this, and we feel a lot of guilt about this. I just want you to put all that aside for a little while. Just listen with open ears, and let's talk about what God wants to say to us about this. I want you to turn to Psalm chapter 1. It's one of my favorite passages in the entire Bible. I love Psalm 1. It says, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of scorners, or sit in the seat of the mockers. But instead, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in God's law, he meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree that is planted by streams of water, that brings forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf will not wither. And whatever he does, he'll prosper. Verse 4 says, but the wicked are not so. They're like the chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, or sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. I love this psalm. It's a psalm my family has memorized, and it's one that means so much to me, probably to you as well. And I wanted to spend some time in it today, and here's why. I'm going to talk to you for a few minutes in the end about the what, about how to spend time in God's Word this year. That's going to be important. We're going to get to that, and I'm going to give you some clear steps. But listen, way more important than the what is the why. Why should I do this? I'm busy. I've got my job. I'm in the middle of a career. I'm working on school. I'm doing my doctoral degree. I'm tied up with a new baby. Why should I take time out of my incredibly demanded schedule to spend time with God? I'm so glad you asked, because Psalm 1 answers that question. Look what he says in verse 1. He starts out setting the pace for the psalm. He says, how blessed is the man. You should have underlined that. How blessed is the man. You know what the word blessed means? It means happy. How happy is the man? How happy is the woman? How happy is the high school student, the college student? Literally what this means is this person, and he's going to tell us about the person in a minute, but he starts by identifying the person, and he says this person is showered with the blessings from the Lord. Can I just stop and ask you, would you like to be showered with the blessings of the Lord? You can be. How blessed. How blessed is this man? How showered with the blessings of the Lord is this man? And then we see in the verses that follow what opens the door for those blessings to come in our life. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, who does not stand in the path of sinners, who does not sit in the seat of the mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. That is the man that is showered with the blessings of the Lord. So what does that look like? Well, the blessed man, according to this text, three things. They don't walk. He doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked. He doesn't look to and talk to other wicked people about how to live his life. He doesn't stand with sinners around the water fountain and talk about sinful things. He doesn't sit in the seat of the scoffers. In other words, if you want to know what that means in kind of just cliff notes, what those verses are saying is, they're saying this: the blessed man doesn't take his cues from the lost world around him. He doesn't take his cues from lost friends. He doesn't take his cues from a skewed media. She doesn't take her cues from wicked, unsanctified, natural desires. And I'm going to tell you, can I just get honest? Can we get honest for a minute? Isn't that where we take most of our cues? Come on. Don't we take most of our life cues from other people and from movies we watch and TV shows and songs we listen to and people that talk to us at work? I mean, really? Isn't that where we learn most of how we live our lives and we wonder why our lives look like they look? That's what he says. Blessed, happy, showered with blessing is the person who doesn't do that. They don't do what everyone else does. They don't take their life lessons from the wrong sources. I'm amazed. I get to spend time with people and try to help them with their marriages. I'm not that great at it, but I love getting to try to help. And one of the things that I'm amazed about when I talk to people and really get down to it is where we learn some of the wrong things we do. We learn it from the wrong places. We look to the wrong things to learn. He says the blessed man doesn't do this. They don't take their cues from a lost world. Instead, he says the blessed man looks to God's word. God's word. She looks to God's word for her marching orders. Look what he says in verse 3. Instead, the blessed man, number one, delights in the law of the Lord. They find delight, joy, like a cup of coffee in the morning delights you. They find delight in the law of the Lord. Like you know, a run delights somebody who loves outdoors. They delight in the law of the Lord. They meditate, think about it, day and night. And they know God's law, and they live their life based on it. Instead of taking cues from a broken world, they take cues and their marching orders from the Lord. That's what Psalm 1 says. And it says, when I do that, I'm going to be showered with the blessings of the Lord. Do you believe God and His word? Listen, let me remind you that it's a love for God's word that motivates me to read God's word. And when I don't read it, I really don't love it. Spurgeon's talking about this very verse. He says this. He says, his delight is in the law of the Lord. In other words, the man takes a text and carries it with him all day long. At night, when he cannot sleep, he meditates on it. When trouble comes, he comforts himself with the promises of the Bible. That's the man that God blesses. And church, listen, if we choose to read and memorize and meditate on and believe and live God's word, God's going to bless us. But what does that look like? So you're like, yeah, I get it. I get it. You said blessed like 18 times, Tim. But what does that mean? Well, what does a man or a woman with a steady diet of God's word, what does their life look like? Well, verse 3 describes it. He'll be like a tree, firmly planted by streams of water, which yields his fruit in his season. His leaf does not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. In this verse, and there's many other things in the Bible, but in this one verse alone, the Bible gives us four things that God's going to do for you if you find your delight in God's word, if you take your cues from God and His word and not from the world around you. Number one, you'll be stable through life's storms. Stable through life's storms. Look what he says. He will be like a tree firmly planted with deep roots by streams of water. We've talked about this passage before, but if you've been to Israel or if you know anything about Israel or where this was text was written, you understand there are not many trees at all. And if there are trees, they're all kind of shriveled up, you know, in the dust and dirt and sand and desert, and they don't look that great. But guess what? Every once in a while, you'll see one by a water source, and it's strong, and its roots go deep, and it's steady. That's what he says you and I will look like if we spend time in God's word and look to God for our cues. In other words, we won't be blown around by the storms we face. And can I just tell you, it's not if storms, it's when storms. You're either in one now, you just come out of one, or you have no idea, you're paddling your little canoe, and you don't know around the turn is a rapid that's coming this afternoon. You don't know. I don't know. I'm blown around by these storms, but I'm going to be stable in them. He's steady. He's consistent. Look at this. He even finds peace in the midst of a storm. Now, there's a biblical concept. He's patient in suffering. She sees the bigger picture that James talks about, where James says we should find joy in our trials in James 1:5. That's what happens when I spend time in God's Word and I take my cues from Him. That's why it's worth getting up earlier. That's why it's worth figuring it out in the midst of your schedule, because of that. But what about those who don't read God's Word? Maybe some of us in this room. What if they don't live their, we don't live our lives by it? Well, verse 4 tells us, the wicked are not so, but they're like the chaff that the wind drives away. So look at this picture. You got a tree that's by rivers of water that's got roots, and it's firm and it's stable in the middle of a storm. That's verse 3. Verse 4, you got chaff. You know what chaff is? Tumbleweed. Spoils everywhere. Every time something happens, it just gets taken every which way. So let me just ask you a question today. Which describes you? Are you like this? And yeah, you'll get hit with a storm, but it's amazing. People at your office, people in your family, they're like, how do you do that? How do you seem to know what to do in the middle of the storm? And you're like, I don't know. But you're in God's Word every day, and God's feeding you. Or do you look like this guy that just gets bumped? Maybe your family's had this kind of year. God's Word will make us stable through life's storms. Second, it joyfully produces fruit in our life daily. Look what it says. He yields His fruit in its season. It yields fruit, joyfully produces fruit daily. In other words, a person that's in God's Word has a life that's characterized by fruit. Others coming to know Jesus Christ and growing in Him. Maybe this is the year. You've been thinking about it, talking about it, praying about it, wondering about it. Maybe this is the year that you will actually get to lead somebody that you know to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and help them grow. What would it be like if this year was that year for you? It can be. You joyfully produce fruit. God's Word allows these things to happen. This affects your family, your disciples, the people you work with, the people you go to school with. Everybody sees this in you. You joyfully produce fruit. You're like, really? I think you're kind of going too far with that. Really? God's Word is what helps us bear fruit. Isn't that what Jesus said in John 15? I am the vine and you are the branches. And he who abides in me and I in him bears what? Much fruit. Apart from me, if you on your own figuring it out with other people, you can do nothing. It's when you're locked into me that you're going to do this. Now, this includes all sorts of fruit. This person not only has fruit like people coming to faith in Christ, but this man exudes the fruits of the Spirit, like love and joy and peace and patience. Let me ask you, can you imagine living every day like that, just full of and exuding joy, just exuding peace? You can. Because listen, according to our text, knowing and living God's Word produces those kind of good things in your life. And it doesn't just say it in Psalms. It says it throughout the entire Bible. Third, if I'm in God's Word, I'm going to have a life that's full. I just wrote full of life. He uses an interesting word here that I've read and memorized and never thought about before this week. Look what he says. Your leaf does not wither. I've read that. I've memorized it. And I've never once stopped to think what that really means. What does it mean, your leaf will not wither? I think it means you're going to have a life that's full of life. In other words, you're not going to be spiritually dry and spiritually dead. Anyone ever had some dry and dead times in your spiritual journey? They're no fun. He says, look, if you're in God's Word every day, you're going to be full of life. You're not going to be dry and dead like a tree that has no life to it. Think about this. Your spiritual life is going to overflow into every other area of your life. In other words, what he means by this, I believe, is that your life is going to be flowing with the life-giving sap of the Holy Spirit and His Word. It's going to be energized by a regular diet of God's Word. And you're going to find life exuding from you. Isn't that what Jesus talked about in John 10:10? The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and life full, life abundant. That's what God wants for you. That's what He wants from me. But it comes as a result of time in God's Word. So let's review. If I'm in God's Word every day, it's going to take work. I'm going to be stable through the storms. I'm going to see fruit, other people, and in my family, and growth around me, but also spiritual fruit, like love and joy and peace in my life. I'm going to have a life that's full of life and joy, not dead and dried up like last year. And then He gives, saves the best for last. Look what He says. And in whatever he does, he prospers. Prosper in every area. Now you're like, wait a minute, are you teaching health, wealth, and prosperity here? Yeah, I think I am. I mean, that's what the text says, right? It says, if I am in God's word, I'm going to prosper in every area of my life. That's what it says. We cannot throw the baby out with the bathwater here, folks. That's what God's word says. Practicing this discipline affects every other area of my life. We know it's true because imagine there was no God for a minute. Just if you automatically, if you just lived by God's word, you read it every day and you abided by it. In other words, you were honest and you got up early and you worked harder, you know, and you would automatically do better in life. But imagine the fact that the Holy Spirit anoints that with God's word, and all of a sudden you can see how good your life can be. When you know and live God's word, you prosper in every other area. It helps you make good life choices that affect everything. That's what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean to your own understanding. Don't look to your own ways, the vice of the wicked people, Psalm 1 around you, right? But instead, in all of your ways, look to Him, His word, acknowledge Him, and He'll make your path straight. And if you're not convinced, isn't that what Jesus said? In one of my absolute favorite verses of the Bible, He says that this affects every area of my life. Matthew 6, 33, seek first His kingdom, His righteousness, and all these things. Now, in context, He's talking about food and housing in Matthew 6, but literally everything else, my marriage, my parenting, my school, my job, all these things are blessed by God. So let me ask you, is God able to do these things? Is He a God of His word? Can we trust Him? If I'm in God's word, am I literally going to be stable? Am I going to have peace in the midst of storms? Am I going to be able to process, you know, a joyful life? Am I going to have fruit? Am I really going to prosper? That's what God says. You might ask yourself the question, so, you know, I know all that, but why does it really matter for me to be in the Bible? Well, if you want the Cliff Notes, simple, short, straight to the point answer, it's this. It's actually kind of simple. We can't live by God's word if we don't know God's word. There's the punchline. We can't live by God's word if we don't know God's word. And we're not going to know it if we're not in it, because we've got a lot of other things competing for our brain space, right? So we've got to be in it if we're going to know it. And then God can use it in my life to change me. So let me just ask, what does that mean for me and what does it mean for you? How can you and I develop this year in this discipline? Now, I know many of you in this room spend time with God every day. Some of you are, you've grown a lot in this area, and you're several times a week when never before did you do that. And yet there's others in here who, this is something you just feel guilty about when you hear something like this. But the question is, how can we develop? How can all of us develop? How can every one of us in this room take another step of growth in this area? Well, that's what I want to talk about in our final passage, which is Psalm 119. And in Psalm 119, this passage, which we studied several years back, it literally gives us, Psalm 119, four ways that I think you can grow in this area. I hope you'll write these down. If you haven't written anything else, that you'll get these, because I think these are going to help answer your question of how you can take steps, even if you are already a person who spends time in God's word. Here they are. There are four critical disciplines relating to God's word that are absolutely essential if you want to be all God wants you to be. Get these. Number one, it's critical that you read God's word daily. Reading God's word daily. That's what verse 9 says. How can a young man keep his way pure? Question. By keeping it according to your word. You can't live by God's word if you don't know God's word. You've got to read God's word daily. I need to make a commitment to read God's word every day. Now, for most of us, this needs to be the first thing we do in the morning. It's not that the mornings are necessarily more sanctified, but the issue is we get distracted very quickly. Once the kids get up, moms, come on now, right? It's tough. I don't know about you, but sometimes I'll think, well, I'm going to come to the office and do it. I work at a church, right? I walk in the door, the phone starts ringing, people start asking me questions, emails start flying, and before I know it, even if I do, it's not getting my attention. I need to give my best to this. The psalmist asks this question. He says, how can I live daily in a healthy and a pure way? And then he answers, by reading and living God's word. So what does this look like practically for us? Well, we have so many options. Can I just stop and remind us how thankful we ought to be to live in America? So much of the world, I mean, there are still places that don't even have the Bible in their language. And so many of them might have just very limited resources. But you know what? By God's grace, and for some reason, He let us be born in America with English speaking. We have phones, multiple devices, where we can get a hold of every imaginable translation. We have a lot of resources at our fingertips. You know, the Bible says to whom much is given, much is required. And I believe God's going to require this of everybody. But we're going to have a different level of requirement. Because we've been given a lot. The ability to read in and of itself separates us from much of the world. And we can do this, right? So how do I do this? So many options. Number one, I just kind of jotted, you can read through the Bible on your own with a plan like YouVersion. Anybody in here use YouVersion app? I do too. I love it. I just finished December 31st reading through the Bible with a read-through that's called As It Happened. It was chronological. It was really good. And I started a different one. It's a discipleship one put out by Navigators this time. And it's kind of taken me through the Bible, but through four different lenses of it every day. And I'm on day six. I read it this morning, and it's been absolutely wonderful. Excuse me. You can consider doing that. I know for some of you, some of us in the room, you've never read through the Bible. Let me encourage you to make this the year you do it. You can do it. I promise you can do it. I know you're like, I don't know if I can. I'm so busy, and you know, reading four chapters a day or five a day is too much. Okay, if it is too much, I get it. Do something. Something's better than nothing. But I just want to, can I just lean in as your friend and challenge you? You can do this. I mean, many of you have, most of you have college degrees. Many of you have master's or doctoral degrees. You've read more than this. You can do this. I promise you can do this. And it's going to give you such perspective. Why does reading through the Bible matter so much? Well, I've told you this before, but reading through the Bible is great. It gives you like the 30,000 foot view of the whole thing. So when you read through the Bible, here's what happens. I mean, you already know this, but you get the picture of how sin came into the world. And then you watch how it played out in people like Cain and Abel and the flood. And I'm reading that right now. And you kind of get that picture. And then you see how God goes about from the very beginning, the process of redemption. And you see how God sends prophet after prophet and person after person. And finally, you're just at your end, you're reading through the minor prophets. You're like, God, I don't think I can do this. I don't think I'm going to make it. It just seems gloom, doom, gloom, doom, gloom, doom. And then all of a sudden, boom, Jesus bursts on the scene. And you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, and you see about, and you're so excited that God sent a Messiah, that He came to earth, and you read about it. And then you get into the book of Acts, and you read about the new church and missions. You read the letters to the churches. Oh my goodness, it gives you the picture. Church, listen, if you're a Christ follower and you've never done this, I am not doing this to shame you or embarrass you or frustrate you. I'm just telling you, you're missing out on one of the coolest things in your Christian life because you can see the big picture. That's why reading every day matters. You can use devotional books. I put My Utmost for His Highest up here. It's something, maybe I did, there it is, that I use sometimes. Those are great, but I wouldn't just rely on those. You need to be in God's Word. Or, Todd already talked about it, but we produce a blog called Jumpstart. And it's a lot of work. Can I just be honest? It's a lot of work on our staff. But we do it because we really want you to be in God's Word. And we want to provide a tool for you. We've been all the way through the Bible once. We're on our second sweep back through. We're in the book of Acts right now. And it's really exciting. So this is one from a few days ago, January 2nd. I just took it right off the website, CPC, jumpstartcpc.com. And if you went there, you could click what's blue. And it would take you to Acts chapter 2, and you'd read verses 1 through 13 about the day of Pentecost. And you would read about that. And then you would go down here, and one of our pastoral staff has written a little bit of a devotion about that. They've kind of helped you to understand it. And you can comment on it. That'll help you so much if you just read God's Word every day. So the first thing that you want to do if you're going to take a step is to read God's Word every day strategically. But second, because I know many of you in this room already do that, right? So what else is there out there? Second, not just reading God's Word. There are four of these. They're all important. Second is studying God's Word weekly. Studying God's Word weekly. That's what verse 10 talks about. With all of my heart, with all of my heart, I have sought. Circle the word sought. I have sought you. Do let me wander from your commandments. What does it mean to seek God? Well, reading's great, but seeking's a little more than that, isn't it? It's looking under the covers. It's getting down deeper. And so if I read God's Word, it gives me the 30,000 foot view of the Bible, and that's really important. But studying God's Word lets me harvest the nuggets that are deep. You know how great it is to be in church or be in a Bible study or connect group, and somebody mentions a deep truth of the Bible, and you're like, that's awesome. You think that's awesome? Wait till you find one on your own. That's when it's really cool. You're just studying along and God goes, bam, and you're like, wow, right? You can't wait to go and tell everybody about it. That is so cool. God wants to do that in your life. But that's going to take you studying God's word weekly. Now listen, if you can have, you know, do it every day, that'd be great. If you're retired or maybe you're a security guy and you know you sit at a desk, you might be able to do this. I'm not trying to say everybody can't, but I don't know. It'd be challenging, right? So I would say read God's word every day and study God's word one time a week. 1 hour, one time a week, you put it in your calendar, Sunday afternoon, Saturday, whatever, and you spend 1 hour every week digging deeper. That's what this is about. This is where God really teaches me things. I look under the surface. To do this, I have to spend the necessary time to dig into God's word. And how do I do this? I do this through weekly study. Set aside an hour or so to get below the surface. Reading allows me to see God's big picture truths, and studying allows me to learn God's deep truths, and both matter. So how do I do it? Let me give it to you quick. Again, there are a lot of resources and methods available to help you with this. Discipleship is a great place to start. Can I just say that again? Discipleship is a great place to start. And if you'd like for us to match you up with somebody who can help you do this, we would be honored to do that for you. Corporate Bible study is another way you can do this. Men's studies, women's studies. Now, I would encourage you not to make this the only way you do it forever, but it is an okay way for you to start studying deeper, to get deeper into God's word. And then the best thing is personal study, digging in for yourself, becoming a self-feeder. One of the books that we put out at Centerpoint is this book called Searching for Treasure. We've had it for years. And in it, it's a discipleship book, but it's something you can get from us if you want it. And in it, there are 6 different Bible study methods. They're really easy. The first one's called observation, interpretation, and application. And in it, 3 basic steps. Anybody could read this and understand it. If you have a discipler, it's even better. But you can go through it and you can read it. And then in it, I give an example from my quiet time on how to do it, and then a blank form for you to go do it. You can learn how to study the Bible for yourself. You can figure out how to harvest those truths. So just to review, daily reading, weekly studying, and then 3 from this text, meditating on God's word hourly. Verse 15, I will meditate on your precepts, and I will give regard or value to your ways. I'm not just going to read it and forget it. I know like you're like, well, I don't mean to do that. No one means to do it. But you get in the car and somebody makes you mad. You know, somebody calls on the phone while you're driving to work. You get in there and your desk is piled with stuff. You go to school and you're studying for a test. No one means to forget. But we do. And listen, I want to remind you, getting into the Bible doesn't really do you any good. What does you good is when the Bible gets into you. How does that happen? Through meditating on God's word. What does it mean to meditate? Well, a lot of people define meditation as emptying your mind. You're sitting in a field and there are flowers and you're floating. Don't do that, right? That's very dangerous. And Satan will fill your mind with a lot of wrong things. Listen, biblical meditation is not emptying your mind, it's filling your mind. Filling your mind with God's truth and then chewing on that truth all day long. When I read God's word or study God's word weekly, I ask God to show me some special truth, and I record it. I use note apps on my phone, or I love index cards. I'll write it on an index card, put it on the dashboard of my car, or stick it on my desk. What am I doing? Every hour, I try to look at that to remind myself of something God said to me so that that will get deep into me and change me. So how do we do this? Daily reading the Bible. Weekly studying the Bible, hourly meditating on the Bible. Now, I know that's challenging. That's going to take work this year. But I'm telling you, that will change you. Or 4, memorizing God's word and utilizing it every minute of your day. Once again, you read God's word, it's great. You study it, that's even better. You meditate on it. Man, that's good. You're chewing on it. But here's still what will happen to you and me. We get bombarded with stuff. People yell at us. We feel depressed. We forget. I'm telling you, when you hide God's word in your heart, when you memorize it, you take it in, all of a sudden, every moment of the day, God will use that. Let me ask you, any of you ever have a real rough time and God brought back a verse you didn't even know you knew? That's what God does, right? I'm strengthened through reading God's word every day. I grow through studying it once a week. I'm encouraged by meditating on it every hour. And I'm delivered by sin and defeat through hiding God's word in my heart. That's what verse 16 says. I shall delight in your statutes. Delight. I'm going to find my joy in them, like my morning coffee. I'm going to delight in you, and I will not forget your word. Or verse 11, your word have I treasured or hidden in my heart so that I will not sin against you. How does God deliver me from sin? How does he deliver me from discouragement, from the daily struggles in my life? Answer, through his word. And some of us are going like, you know, I struggle so much. I'm discouraged. I'm depressed. I sin. Well, according to the Bible, and I'm not trying to be a smart aleck, but according to the Bible, the answer to that is found in your hand. It's in getting in God's word. And as I regularly memorize God's word, God uses that to fuel me. Listen, there's no substitute for it. Because memorizing God's word allows God to restore and correct you. I've told you this before. My dad, I learned so much from him growing up. I wish you guys could have known him. He's been with Jesus a long time, but he used to tell this story. He was real practical, and I always got this. He'd say the farmers go out and they harvest the hay. If you ever worked hay fields, it's hard work, right? I've done that when I was a kid, and you get it, and you haul it, and you stick it up in a hayloft, right? Why does a farmer do that? Well, simple. In the winter, this time of year, oh, it's beautiful out today, but normally you go out, and the cows eat the grass down to where there isn't any left, and it's all frozen, and the cows are hungry. They're starving. So what does the farmer do? He brings the cows into the barn. He reaches up, grabs a bale of hay, brings it down, and now the cows can eat. You know what my dad would say? My dad would say the Holy Spirit reaches up in our hayloft when we have a struggle, when we're having a bad day, when we need our temptation, and he reaches up to grab the hay that we've memorized and to bring it down. But if we haven't memorized God's word, many times we just struggle. Do you understand why this matters? You need it every moment. How do you do this practically? I would recommend some very basic verses like Romans 3:23, 6:23, 5:8. I'd be glad to give you a list. Or you can memorize a verse that just stands out to you when you read or study. Or can I just throw out a crazy challenge to you? I did this in the first hour, and two people came and told me they were going to do it. Make this the year you memorize an entire book of the Bible. You're like, are you crazy? Are you smoking something funny here or something? I mean, there's no way. I can't do that. Oh, look at me. Yes, you can. Like I said earlier, you have a master's degree. Don't tell me you can't memorize. You can do it. And what would it look like for you this year to memorize a book of the Bible, to start out and do it? I'm going to tell you what it would do. It would change you. It would change your family. Will you consider being challenged this year? Make this a different year for you. Take another step in your journey with Jesus. Listen, God's word is one of the most powerful resources in the life of Christ's followers to teach us, build us up, encourage us, enable us to fight sin. So I just want to ask, do you want to grow in 2019 more than ever before? Do you want to grow in 2019 more than ever before? Do you want to look back on 2019 and see how much you've changed, how much you fought sin, how much you experienced peace, how you led your family and others to grow more than ever you thought before? The fastest way to experience these changes is to be in God's word. So let me just ask, what do you think about this? You know, they say it takes 21 days to form a habit. I don't know exactly how they know all that, but let me just throw this out. Today's the 6th. If you started today, you would end on the 26th. I think my math's right. If you did it every day starting today, that's 21 days. And think about that for a moment. Would you just commit to the next 20? I'm not asking forever. Just 21 days every day in God's word and see what God does. Just throw it out there and say, God, I don't know if I can do this, but I'm going to try. And just see what God does. You've been talking about it and feeling guilty about it long enough. And then let me just close by asking. I know there are many of you in this room. You're like, Tim, man, this is great, but I already do read the Bible. And I know that. And I am so blessed to pastor a church with a lot of people who do that. Thank you. Let me just say thank you for that. But listen, would you consider taking another step? So if you're over here and you're like, I never read the Bible, would you try? Would you do Jumpstart? If you're like, hey, you know, I do, but man, I'm more like a 2 day a week. Well, would you try to be 7? Could we just take a step in that way? If you're here and you're like, I read the Bible every day, well, then let me ask you, will you consider a 1 hour scheduled strategy Bible study for you to dig deeper every week this year? If you're like, man, I read the Bible and I do a Bible study, and there are a lot of you like that, well, will you start figuring out how to take a passage, write it on a card, and meditate on it every hour throughout your day so God can get the Bible into you? And if you do that, will you consider making this the year that you hide God's word in your heart till you won't sin against him that you'll memorize. That's my challenge for you. And I know you know where this is going, but here it is. Will you take out the card that's in the point and will you write that decision out? You're like, Tim, you always do that. You know, you ask for that. Yeah, hey, that's the reason we have the card. Duh. It's so I can hear from you, all right? But will you write on there? Because here's why. You're like, why do you care? I care for this reason. I'm your pastor, and I want to pray for you. I want to ask God to help you, and I commit to you that we as a staff will pray over these cards. We will pray over your decision. We will help you. And if you're here today and you've never come into a relationship with God through Jesus, and you're sitting here going, honey, you told me to come, your wife said come to church, you're so mad at her right now, you're like, worst day ever. I don't know anything about what he said. But you're here because there's something drawing you this year to figure this out. And you don't understand anything else I said. Will you listen to this one thing? Could I challenge you? Could I give a challenge to you? If you're seeking and you're wondering, would you download the app of a Bible and will you read John chapters 1, 2, and 3 this week? It's not that much. Just read it. Just read John 1, 2, and 3 and just see what God may say to you. And if you're a really good reader and you're like, that's not enough, well, when you're done reading John 1, 2, and 3 a couple times, read Romans 1 through 10. Just read it a couple times. See what God says to you. See if he speaks to you. See if there's a God out there who will reveal himself to you through his word.